What's good, y'all? Y'all already know who it is. It's the Dream Team Podcast. Real raw, real authentic. Just remember, there's no dream too big, no dream too small. It's A-Stacks.
It's Mel. And today we got two special guests with us. Would y'all introduce yourselves?
I'm Jay.
I'm Zani.
How y'all day going?
I'm going good.
Yeah, it's cool. Nice and chill day. The weather outside, too.
Y'all had class today?
Yeah.
Not me.
I had pre-calc, too. Don't like that class, but keep it being. Don't like it. But we gonna get through it. We gonna make sure I pass.
For sure.
Don't go through it.
Okay, I'm happy y'all was talking about class, because today's episode is gonna be about academics and all that. So, how are you guys currently doing in school?
For me, I ain't all the way up there. I'm cool. I'm at a level ground. I could put some more work in, because I'm the type of person where I do academic comebacks. So like in the beginning, my grades not maybe the best, maybe C's, D's, F, possibly. You gonna say possibly. That's when I'm really not on my stuff, but we've never really done that low. But most of the time at the end, and everything, I'm not gonna say most of the time, all the time at the end, I make sure I get A's and B's or some. Got to.
I don't have academic comebacks. I'm just always up on my grades. Education, like I'm really big on that, so I'm doing pretty good in school right now. It's usually mid-semester where I like struggle a little bit for midterms, but honestly, my grades are, I'm passing every class, basically. Minor student, so.
Congratulations.
For sure.
Thank you.
Now, y'all mentioned before that y'all was dual enrollment students, but what high school y'all go to?
I go to Mastery Thomas, because our school is like, it got different chains, so it's a whole chain school. So I go to Mastery Charter School Thomas campus.
Okay.
And I go to Mastery Charter Linfest campus.
Okay.
So mine's is downtown.
Yours mine's is in South Philly.
Yeah.
And you're like right near Oregon Ave.
Yeah.
All
right.
So like, I want to ask y'all this question. You know, you asked it before, but feel me. What's y'all top five priorities in y'all life?
Gonna go for me first. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm the type of person where I don't really got like a top five priority. My only priority is myself, because I think everything revolves around me and my life, and it goes off how I am as a person. I make responses and actions and a bunch of other stuff on my own terms. Mm-hmm. So I gotta make sure I'm good, so I'm able to give back that same energy and that good wealth that people have given me throughout my life and everything like that.
My top five is my mom, my religion, my education, my work, and my friends. Like, that's what I prioritize the most. Of course, myself, but I feel like I should prioritize like my family first before myself, because I know they're going to give to me before I give to them. Like, my mom, like, she's my everything. Like, she's all I got. So it's like, she brought me into this world. She do a lot for me, so I feel like I should put her first for anything. Anything she want, I gotta give to her. Like, it's just that. So, yeah.
How about you, man?
This is like, I would say me, my family, money, I say school, and that's it for that's four right there.
Sure. Me personally, I put the bread first. I don't want y'all to judge me,
because
I
got my family. It's good. Understandable.
I don't even got my family in my top five.
Everybody don't got like a family that they close to, though, so it's not like it's a bad thing.
But I put money up top for sure. Then school. When I put school first and then money, because I'm here most of the day, I go to work after. Feel me? I put my body third. Dime. Let me rephrase that, bro. I put my religion first, my school second, money third, my body fourth. Kind of a little less.
That's nice.
All right.
That's as nice. You can see, I'm a little like organized, but
it's bro. It's cool, bro. All right. So have y'all ever came across any struggles this semester or last semester? If so, what was it?
I'm gonna be so for real. It's a professor, one professor been my struggle, not even for this whole semester, not even just now. Like, she was cool at first, and I'm thinking I'm about to rock out. We started getting into the semester. She started showing her true colors. And I'm like, that rating, you know the little website they got here where you got the rating? Yeah. Bad. Bad. Her stuff bad.
You got to check that job before you sign up for that class.
But we
did.
We can't get out of it because we do enrollment, so we can't switch class. We can't drop. So we got to stay in it the whole semester regardless if you like it or not.
Yeah.
Especially with one of our advisors. Oh, my God.
They choose y'all classes for y'all?
Hmm?
They choose y'all.
Yes, they do. You got some say, but you got a lot.
Yeah.
So it depends. But for me, yeah, she been my one struggle. I really can't get past her. I don't know what's up with her.
What's wrong with her? What's she do?
Yo, she's so sassy, and she got a slick mouth. And it just be
very
like,
sarcastic.
Bro, I'm not the type of person that can handle that. I got anger issues. I don't keep it a bean. She really be teamy, and I be like, you got one more second before I really spaz. So I got to walk out.
Bro, she like a white.
She white. Real white. She teach environmental science at that. Yeah, that's a bad joint mixed all together.
We both have different experiences. Like, I can say for me, we have the same teacher but different, like, classes. For me, it's the first day, like, my first day in her class, we got into an argument. I'm, like, over my computer. So I'm just like, all right, like, we came in the next day and then we had a little talk. Me and her had words. I'm not gonna lie, she offended me, so I went at her respectfully. And she said, okay. I got her class, came back the next day, she handing out stickers, being nice to me. And then I realized that, for me, and I can't speak for everybody else, but for me, you have to, like, show respect to get respect. So she was somewhat showing me some respect later on in the semester, so I started showing her respect more, because respect is what's earned. Like, I'm giving you respect, but you don't give me none, so you don't even deserve my respect. So I'm just giving her respect, and then we're actually on good terms, and, like, she actually respects me. Like, she don't cause me no issues. Like, we cool. I think last semester, it wasn't even a teacher, it was a certain class, and I did fail that class, and it was a real big struggle for me. I think, like, I had a mental breakdown on campus. I wanted to, like, leave the program, but I'm like, no, I can't just give up. Like, one, like, we're gonna fail, we're gonna win some, lose some, we're gonna fail some. Like, it's cool, but I think, like, this semester actually taught me, like, way more. Like, I'm managing everything better. Like, I'm on top of my stuff more. I'm passing a lot of things, so I feel like this semester is actually a better semester for me than last semester. That makes sense. Yeah.
That's what's up.
How about you, bro?
I think my biggest struggle... my biggest struggle is staying consistent, bro. And that's from... stemming from high school, bro. Like, I've always found it hard to be consistent. Like you said, being a... always having to catch up with work and stuff, like... I'm always the type, like, I start off mid, but then I finish off strong. And that's not healthy, even though it works. But it's not a good way to handle stuff. So I say that I definitely gotta start being more consistent, because I've seen the good that comes out of me being consistent and the amount of work I put in. And how me being disciplined differs from me being motivated, because when I'm motivated, I might lose that motivation the next day, the next week, but regardless, I'm gonna lose it. But if I'm disciplined and I stay true to what I gotta do, feel me, then I know I'm gonna be on the come up, for sure. How about yourself?
I would say, let me start off with this semester. This semester, I'm not gonna lie. So I would say my English class at first, and I would say I didn't even know. I went on my rate professor. I was looking and all that, and I saw good ratings, but I didn't realize how strict he was gonna be. And this is the first day. It's the first day, and you know, I got my whole fit on. You know what I'm saying? I'm looking great. But see, I walked into class, but I came in. It was when it was like it was a lot of snow and all that, right? It was bad, and I had a drive down here, and I was like 30 minutes late. So I came in, and then I walked in. Everybody looked at me, and then he said, get out. I said, huh? What you mean, get out? He was just like, you could come back for the second class. And then he was just like, all right, get out. And I was just like, oh, okay. And I left, and I came back for the second class. And I guess he was cool or whatever. But it was just how his, like, demeanor was or whatever. He was just, like, very, very strict about, like, the assignments. Like, you can't turn them in late. That's the first. I ain't never had a teacher like that. I'm not even in high school. I ain't have no teachers like that. But I really hated his class for a good little minute until like midway. I had a meeting with him and we talked about some things. I was just like, yeah, I'm struggling and all that. But I'm not gonna lie, I like English. I like writing essays and stuff like that. He was just like, yeah, I see it in your work. And he genuinely helped me and I kind of like the class now. But I would say like last semester, I mean, my last semester went pretty cool. I'm not gonna lie. It was just I'm saying, going back to what you said, Ace, it was just like being consistent and all that. And then towards the end, I started getting locked in and blah, blah, blah. But I would say like, I'm not gonna lie, the biggest thing for real was just like my mental health, especially this semester. Cause you know, I'm having breakdowns and all that. I still am, I'm not gonna lie. And it got to the point where I needed to talk to somebody, I needed a therapist. Cause it was just like, bro, I'm not gonna lie, I was having breakdowns, like driving to school, like just bad, I'm not gonna lie. And I'm not a very emotional person, I'm a very reserved person, I don't like talking, I'm not gonna lie, but I felt like I needed to speak to somebody, or you know what I'm saying, I don't wanna do no crazy shit, you know what I'm saying? So I needed to like to talk to somebody, and in the process of getting a therapist, but it was just like, it's like kind of slow for real. And this is like, I need some talk to somebody now. And I ain't want to talk to like, people just be like, oh yeah, don't you got friends and this and that. But I got bad trust issues. I got horrible trust issues. I don't really trust people like that, especially with my information and about my well-being. I even, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. But, and it was just something I had to realize. It was just like, especially during that spring break was the hardest for real. And it made me realize, it was just like, bro, if I don't get myself together, everything's gonna fall apart. Like, if I don't, like, with the whole school shit, like, I can't put it on pause for real, because I put so much work in so far, and I gotta finish through. Then I got other people relying on me, then I'm just trying, you know, I'm trying to get better, but it's not really working out so well. Yeah.
You're gonna get through it, though, bro. Ain't nothing you can't handle.
You know.
You keep believing that.
I hope
it's really not
going to
be nothing you can't handle.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, next question. Do you feel like the education system is a good system?
No.
Ooh, I had an essay on this, too.
It's so many different gaps that people go through and everything like that. Like, some schools outright terrible. Education can't even get it because kids out there acting wild and everything like that. And then some schools compared to that, that's all way up there. They got the rich campuses, got catering coming to the campus and everything like that. It's just such a hierarchy when it comes to education, and so much bickering and fighting when it comes to people really trying to learn. It's like, why do I have to go through so much and put myself in so much debt and so much stress and everything like that just to get education, just to get knowledge? Like, you rejected me of just information, and it feel weird. I feel like nobody should be rejected of information that can help them prosper in life or get a job or get a career or figure out how to help somebody with a disease or something. Like, everybody shouldn't have to fight to learn. Everybody should be able to get that off rip. And the free education that they can get shouldn't be so down low and so low maintenance and so out of the world's touch that they don't care about it no more.
Yeah. So I wrote an essay about this, and as far as like college or like elementary school or high school education, the system is very like rigged and messed up. Even for public schools and charter schools, there's a lot of teachers there's actually not enough black teachers in the education system. So some kids also feel uncomfortable even working under white teachers because they could care less. It's actually some kids that, how can I put this? They don't come from the best neighborhoods. So their parents can't afford a good education for them. And our education system is failing them. Like, we don't even have enough textbooks, enough good teachers, enough staff members. Like, they really don't could care less about us. They don't even teach us no more. It's really bad. I could actually see from a high school student that I had a lot of struggles in my school days where it's like, y'all not doing enough for us. Like, we're here every day to learn. y'all not doing enough for us. We here to learn, we here to understand, and y'all just giving us the work, like, just do it. Y'all not even trying to teach it to us. And then it's not just about all the kids, it's us black kids too. They're giving us African American kids the lowest of the lowest education. Like, they're not trying the hardest for us at all. So I feel like the teaching system is very, very rigged for us. Like, we don't have any good staff, any good teachers. We have no, we don't have any money to provide us with the school stuff, the textbooks, the pencils, the trips. Like, but for you look at a charter school up Roxborough or Manioc, they got a lot of opportunities, but they give us the low down opportunities, and it's just so messed up.
You don't think you had like one good teacher? You like nobody.
Yeah, like, for my school, like, all the black teachers, like, they only have one break to prep, but, and they have, like, eight classes to teach throughout the day, but you have my AP teacher, like, she's a white girl, like, white woman, and she only has two classes, and she have, like, eight periods to prep for those two classes, like, and they get paid way more than the black staff, and it's, like, it's so bad, like, it's just really bad in my school.
Yeah, no, at our school at Mastery, teachers in general, at least from my campus, they not like respected, especially the black ones. Like, yeah. I'm gonna keep it real. I had so many black teachers come up to me and be like, I'm trying my best to stay here for y'all black kids and give y'all prosper and advice and give y'all a way to keep going and to view somebody in a better light that looks like you. Mm-hmm. And they just being treated like it's nothing at our school, at Mastery, and they just leaving. I can tell you off the top of my head about three different black teachers that I'm left this year.
Or even
not even black, just lower minorities. Like, I'm so many people at my school that are minorities that are teachers have been treated like it was nothing, but the white ones get so much. And the second somebody cry, like a white woman at my school, the second she cry, everybody coming to her aid.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, I don't really care for that. I see how the teachers at my school have been through so much to sit there and teach me to be the best black person that I could be when I go out in the world and everybody see me and view me the way I am. So I appreciate them and I love them for that. And I hope they find the best job they possibly can after they leave Mastery. Truth.
Inshallah. Well, why do you think this is happening? Like, the teachers leaving and stuff? Or like,
school just don't care. Like, it's kind of how the world worked too. Cause I feel like,
you think this how the system was built?
Yeah, yes, like, it's how it was deaf. Like, even when it came back to segregation and racism, this was installed. Like, this was the purpose.
Yeah.
Segregation, when they added everybody together, they still kept it. Black people get the lowest, white people still get the highest. Like, black people got some of those back end rooms in a basement or in some area of a school, while the white people get to have these lovely classrooms, chalkboards, everything provided for them, and all the black kids get the hand-me-downs, the rundown books, the ripped books, the written books, and everything like that. So it's been something that's been built in the world that we live in, and I feel like people aren't willing to accept racism. Like, it sounds weird, but people constantly come back to that and constantly throw it in white people's face. I'm like, but y'all want to move on. But y'all constantly using the same thing that y'all went through against them. Y'all not giving them an opportunity, in my head, to clear that light. And I'm not gonna lie, some white people don't want to clear that. Like, they want to stay in that mindset, that way of life. But you can't have everybody in that same point of view. Everybody not like that. I'm not gonna walk across every white person and be like, yeah, that one don't like me. That one don't like me. I'm just gonna make sure that I keep every white person that I see in a okay light until you give me some wrong reason to look at you like you're a bad person. That's how I view it as. Because when you constantly hold on to the pain in the past of what you went through, you're not going to give yourself time and opening the space to move on. I feel like that. I'm not going to say ever to forget, but I'm not going to say just keep it on and holding it. I'm going to say forgive, but never forget.
Okay.
Remember what they did to you, but don't sit here and use it against them and constantly throw it in their face and constantly be like, oh, but you did that. You did. It's not going to help.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like it's just an endless argument between two races that could come together one day. But I feel like people hold grudges and they got pride and they just don't want to let that go.
But I feel like it's because I feel like a lot of these, I used to really wonder why some people like are the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of people are raised to hate. Like, let's say I would, for example, like, um, all right, we're going to use some random, you know what I'm saying, white person who mm-hmm. doesn't like, you know what I'm saying, black people, for example, right? They're raised from a young age. They're told by their parents, oh, the black people, they do this, blah, blah, blah. They're bad, this and that. You know what I'm saying? And they get older and older and older. It's really hard to change that thought behind them.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know what I'm saying? Especially if they, like, you know, ain't, you know, have an interaction with a black person. So now it's just all those thoughts, and they just, you know what I'm saying? It's hard to really break that thought in their head once they get, you know, like in their 40s or 50s. You know what I'm saying? I really had to, like, understand that, like, for my own grandma, like, you know what I'm saying? Me and my grandma are not cool. We don't have a good relationship like how other people are supposed to, like, I feel like you're supposed to have a good relationship with your grandma or isn't that, but I never had a good relationship. I ended up doing something when I was like 10 or 9, and I like, basically what I did was, so she was sitting in the living room. The lady was sitting in the living room. I got my other two siblings. They was like about 5, 6 at the time. And we all grabbed a bunch of spoons. All of us grabbed a bunch of spoons. And we went up to her and we told her to, like, basically just like to eat poop or whatever. And like,
huh?
Bro, like, like, listen, all right, it's gonna sound crazy, but we walked up to her with the spoons in our hands. We turned around and we acted like we was like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
nah. Like, yeah. And then she lost it. She lost it. I ain't even gonna lie. She, you know, she jumped. She jumped off the couch or whatever, and she tried to get me, but she missed me, and she ended up falling on the floor. You know what I'm saying? I ran upstairs. I locked the room and all that. You know what I'm saying? She banging on the door. She trying to get me. I'm just like, nah, I'm not opening the door. You know what I'm saying? A few hours later, I get my ass whooped. I ain't even gonna lie. My pops or whatever. Yeah, he wasn't playing it. But ever since that, like. Ever since that happened, that little event or whatever, she's never forgiven me. Like, I even...
You made her eat poop, gang?
Yeah, bro.
Bro, no, I ain't actually do it, though. I ain't actually do it. I did that. You know what I'm saying? And I apologized. I apologized multiple times for it, and she still never let that grudge, you know what I'm saying, go away or whatever. I never really understood that, you know what I'm saying? And I was just like, I asked my mom, I was just like, why is she the way she is? You know what I'm saying? She was just talking about how she was raised by her own parents. So she thinks whatever she's doing is cool just off of just what she was used to growing up. And I, you know what I'm saying, I came to peace with it. I was just like, bro, if she's ever ready to, like, you know, forgive me and to move on, I'll be down for it. But I can't get mad and try to like get sad about a relationship that I just, it's really, I can't do nothing about, you know what I'm saying? She's like 70, 80. I can't change her mind, her mindset.
Yeah, I like the saying that racism is taught. Like, you gotta be taught that. I don't think racism has ever been a thing where it just naturally came to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta be taught to hate somebody or taught to hate something. You can't just have that when you're born. Cause I ain't never think of that.
So. All right, so not stemming from what y'all saying too much, but just stemming from it a little bit. So you have a black kid, mm-hmm. a black kid raised in a black home, you know what I'm saying? But the home isn't that stable. Stuff going on, it's just stuff going on in the crib, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes to school, and, you know, he's acting up, and they call him a troubled kid. Do you think that's a product of how he was raised up, or... What you think, or maybe the teacher's influence of him being called a troubled kid, so he's being brainwashed to be a troubled kid? What you think?
I feel like the house encourages that, but also it depends on how everybody develops. Like, cause there's a lot of people that live in troubled homes that chose to go into the NBA, that chose to be in the NFL, that chose to be rappers, and chose to make a life out of what they've been through. So I feel like everybody has a response. That was just their response. Their response wasn't the best, but the situation at home caused that response. So I would say it encourages that, but everybody takes everything a different way. So it could go into how he can't, or she, whoever, can't handle what's going on at home. They don't got nobody to talk to. It's a lash out, cry for help, whatever you want to call it. Everybody got their own response, in their own way of dealing with things, and sometimes it may not be the best, or they could be just be young and encouraged by the not only the household but the environment they're around. Because you gotta understand, you got everybody looking up to somebody, and if they're not looking up to somebody, they're looking at themselves to be something, but they don't know what they want to be. So it all goes to what you are around and what you're willing to accept and what you're not willing to accept, and how you want to build yourself as a person. So I feel like the home is a place where it encourages kids to do certain things, but also the environment affects that thing, because you can live in a good household, you still can end up with a hood rat.
Yeah.
So I just feel like the home, it shows a lot of things and it builds you, but everybody don't accept what builds them. Everybody don't accept the building blocks that they make or they're made out of.
To sum up what she said, it could be a cry for help. Like, it's all about the parenting. And also, even if it's just not a home thing, mm-hmm. it could be like a bullying thing. You never know, like, what they're going on at school. So they could be getting caught in trouble.
Mm. What's up, y'all?
Hey.
What's up?
Oh, we got a question?
Yeah, y'all have any question out there? Not bad. Y'all have any questions out there?
What's your question?
What's your question?
Will you hold on for a minute, man? Stop doing that.
Well, please tell me.
Go ahead, man. Please be quiet. I want to ask you some questions, okay? Just stay quiet. Stay quiet, okay?
So I was going by. So update
you on. Hello, brother.
Yeah, assalamu alaikum. How you doing, brother?
Alhamdulillah, very good, brother. What's your name, brother?
Ace. What's your question?
What's your name, brother?
Ace, my name is Ace.
Ace, where are you from, brother?
I'm Liberian, but I live in Philly.
Oh, okay. You ask me where I'm from?
Yeah, where are you from?
Oh, I'm from UK, bro.
Oh, okay, that's what's up. You got a question for us?
What kind of questions is can I ask?
Education wise.
Oh, education.
Where now?
Like, what subject?
Any subject, you know. Mom.
You're wasting my time.
You know, what is the educational system where you at?
And education,
I did social.
Social worker.
So as a social worker, what you think about the educational system in America? Okay, so we want to thank y'all for joining in, because they got to continue the conversation. Continue, y'all.
That don't that piss me off, bro.
Hello, yes, guys, follow me.
Nah.
Okay, we will, bro. Thank you.
It's the nah.
Double tap.
Okay, we got you, bro.
All right,
bro.
Double tap, guys.
Yo, listen. If you're gonna interrupt the conversation,
I follow you. Follow back.
So we're gonna follow you back, bro. Got you. Thank you.
Sister, I follow you. Follow back.
Swap, get him out of here.
To the nail, so.
Getting hot in here. Getting hot.
Just turn the volume. Can you turn the volume up? Ain't gonna lie, that was I'm crazy.
So I just put the volume
down. Yeah, just put it down. Just put it all the way down. I'm trying to lock in.
I don't got no patience.
All right, but going back to what you were saying, though, and what was it on? Oh, we was talking about how, you know, do you feel like the education system is actually, like, a good system? I don't think so. Like, you could tell it's just rigged. First, especially for like low income, like individuals. You know what I'm saying? Like, in psychology class today, we were talking about how like we got low income, we got middle class. I think it was like low class, middle class, and then, you know what I'm saying, the rich, and that 1% that you know what I'm saying, that really rich, like, tier and all that.
You learned this in sociology, right?
Yeah, today.
Nah, real rap, bro. It was like people like us. I don't know how to explain it. Did you do the penny joint, like, where she had you, like, the poor, the middle class, the upper middle class, the rich, and the very rich, and she gave us, like, 100 pennies, and you had to distribute the wealth of, like, how much income everybody's getting. So I distributed it pretty evenly, me being, you know what I'm saying, I was naive to the fact of what's really going on, you know what I'm saying, until my sociology professor, you know what I'm saying, Professor Adler, she really broke it down. The poor barely got half a penny. Us, I think we had like three to five pennies. The upper middle class got like 5 to 6, and like the billionaires, like the top 1%, they had the rest of the, like, it was like 90 pennies. They had the rest. So like 90% of the country's wealth goes to that 1%. It's just like,
and it doesn't even make sense, because it's the I'm not even gonna say the rich, I'm gonna say the wealthy. They control about 40% of the entire country, out of, like, you know, the entire country's, like, money, you know. And it's just like, when you think about it like that, it doesn't make any sense, because as far as people who are wealthy, they keep getting more and more money, more and more wealthier, while the people who are struggling get way more poorer and poorer and poorer. When they can, then they make it even worse and way more harder for a person to get out of poverty, because they control America, and I'm not gonna lie, they got power for them. So they control, like, you know, the lawmakers, the judges, you know what I'm saying, if there's like a bill or whatever needs to pass that would benefit people who come from like low income households, they have the power to just stop that, because it would benefit them, and they can make more money and just benefits off of just people like us and all that. You know what I'm saying? Why is it that, you know what I'm saying, I think his name Jeff Bezos or something like that, right?
Jeff Bezos.
Oh, him? Oh yeah, my fault. But an owner of Amazon, you know what I'm saying, he makes billions of dollars, but, you know what I'm saying, why is it that an average Amazon worker, why is he getting paid that amount? You know what I'm saying? And a lot of the times, these people, you know what I'm saying, they still use EBT, this and that. And then they actually been talking about, you know what I'm saying, like, cutting back on how much people get for EBT when they're already struggling, which it doesn't even make sense. It's just like, shit in America is getting way more pricier and pricier and pricier, but like, you're not raising the income, so how are people able to live? It, you know what I'm saying? It don't even make sense. It's just like, we are the wealthiest, like, country in the entire world. Why are we struggling? Why are people starving at nighttime? Why, you know what I'm saying? Why do I have to, why are people out here trying to figure out what they're going to eat for the rest of the week? You know what I'm saying? They got to make $100 less a week or 2 weeks or something like that. You know what I'm saying? And these are people with kids and all that. And it don't make no sense for them. And then you see, you look at other countries, like, I think in Dubai, they give you about, like, $30,000 or, you know what I'm saying, just for being a civilian in there, just for being born there. And you look at their, you know what I'm saying, you look at the people over there, you see how happy they is and all that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying, just, you look at America, like, why are we going through all that? You know what I'm saying, this shit is really rigged for them. And then that goes back to our education system. These people, these wealthy individuals or whatever, you know what I'm saying, they're mostly all white. They're mostly all white people. And, you know what I'm saying, those are the people who made the education system. You know what I'm saying? And it's just like, bro, it ain't gonna lie, this shit, it's like, it's really, it's just unfair, I'm not gonna lie. And it's just like, I've seen it personally, like, what it's, like, you know what I'm saying, what it's done for real. Because I was, you know what I'm saying, there'd be times when my mom could have, you know what I'm saying, she wasn't able to pay, like, you know what I'm saying, bills or whatever, she gotta go out, you know what I'm saying, she was working, like, two jobs at a time and all that, just to really put food on the table and all that. My mom shouldn't. Nobody should have to do that and all that. You know what I'm saying?
Do you know how many generations it takes to get out of poverty?
No, I'm assuming a lot though.
It takes at least 3 or 4 generations to get out of poverty. Unless I learned this in my class and I wrote an essay about it. And do you know how many generations it takes to fall right back into poverty?
One.
Exactly. And they don't care about that. They don't care about us at all.
It's greed. So people get greedy. After they get their hands on money, they want more. The more you secure with, the more power you got, the more you can control. Nobody want to be controlled, but they want to be do the controlling. And I feel like when you compare it to Dubai, it's also, I feel like a lot in Dubai is heavily religious. Like everything goes around religion with Dubai. America don't got that. America got their own type of way. It's so many mixtures of different people and different cultures and different religions and minorities and other things going on. Is such a mix that people don't know the boundary of everybody. Like, it's certain things that I can say to one person I can't say to the next because of how they live their life and everything like that when I walk out in America. But in Dubai, you don't. Everybody live by the same norms. Here, everybody don't. And some people have a problem with that. That's why it goes to the constant back and forth. With Dubai, their country is divided, ours is. Everybody in our country, like, even with the elections, it shows how divided we are. It shows how much people have been so out of tune with humanity and just being humans altogether. They think, oh, you're not human. They think something of you before they ever think of you as a person.
Do y'all think that, like, it goes back to, like, even, like, kids coming to, like, the school shootings and the education system. Do y'all think that the system causes kids to have, like, mental issues, like, anxiety, like, struggles, like, with their own mental health and others, like, just home stuff? Like, do you think that the school system causes that stuff for them?
That's a great question.
I wouldn't say that as somebody who got, like, you know what I'm saying, I suffer from depression and all that. I wouldn't say it was because of school and all that. I feel like it was because of, like, what was going on surrounding, like, my surroundings, my environment. And, like, there was a lot going on in my household that I feel like that brought out my mental issues and stuff. You know, I'm not going solely, because me in particular, my parents and all that, it was a toxic situation going on in my household. But I really used school as a really, I used to go into school with the mindset that I'm going to cause so much trouble and I'm going to be the class clown. But it was really making me forget what was going on at home. You know what I'm saying? Because when I was at home, I was really sad. I was depressed.
It was your coping mechanism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so school was really a... Plus, I'm not going to lie, even in, like, the worst schools, the bad schools, there's always somebody there to help you. You just gotta use your voice.
Yeah, no, I feel like...
What is it?
I just feel like when it comes to school or home or business or work or anything, any place is going to be as bad as the people are. I feel like a school can't make a school without people.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have a faculty without workers. You can't have a student body without students. So if the student body is bad, that means the students are bad. If the faculty is bad, that means the faculty is bad. Either one of the two, something's going to be wrong. That makes the school bad overall. I feel like a school is just a building. The people within it makes the school.
Do you think it's the students' fault that these schools are doing this poor?
Absolutely not.
Mm-mm.
Absolutely.
Students can't control what they are given. You can't control what you, even when you are born, you can't control what's given to you. You got what you got when you enter this world, and you make do with what you have. And like I said, everybody got their own response. Everybody got their own way of going about things. Some just may not be the best way. Some people choose a bad route because to them, it caused their mind to either go blank or it caused their anger to be an outlet. And they do that. Other people take a good or a better route because they use some type of coping mechanism or some type of like sport or club, something they can focus their mind into, and they focus on that and everything else goes away. So I just feel like it depends on how you are, the things you're available to, and the opportunities that you make with yourself and how you go about things and the connections you make with other people.
Right.
Your whole world is based off the connections you got.
So how about students like
Hold on. Pause on that. Like, you said something before. You was just like, how did you start? You was just like, all right, you have a household, and then you have a child. And I don't know how you worded it.
A bad household, and then the kid goes to school being bad.
Yeah, you was just, all right. So, back to that. I mean, at least what I've seen, what I'm saying, I feel like in the black community, that's typically what happens. I'm not gonna lie. That's what you see a lot of.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like the only reason why, all right, so when your environment is not so good and all that, you're already around this and all that. So you're definitely thinking about it at a young age and this and that. But I feel like it would really keep you on the right path for it is really like, I guess, a father figure for real. Like, I feel like your parents are really a big part in your life for real. Like, they're really supposed to be the ones that really keep you on the right path. And I feel like a mother can't do a father's job, just like a father can't do a mother's job. So I grew up, I would say like around like when I was like 11 and 12, that's when I started living with just my mom, and that impacted me a lot. I'm not gonna lie, you could see it. I used to get in trouble a lot, all the time at school, blah. I didn't know why, but I really had a lack of a father figure. I'm saying my dad wasn't there. I wasn't able to speak to him, or like it was just overall bad. But what saved me, and I could even just in my environment and all that, it was just, you know what I'm saying, it was all bad. You know what I'm saying? I could have joined the gang. I could have, you know what I'm saying, did all the wrong choices and all that. A lot, you know what I'm saying, make a lot more like bad choices for myself. But I had teachers. Like, there was teachers that I met that were like, you know what I'm saying, father figures. I got like was said earlier, like I got into sports. I started playing football, and then I met coaches that wasn't just coaches, they were father figures, and they taught me a lot of things that my own father should have taught me. But they ended up teaching it to me, and that's why I can say that I'm here today. You see? And you know, it sucks for it, because some people really don't have, if you don't have a father figure, you're going to be, I'm going to call it a product of your environment. Whatever's going on in your environment, you're going to be a product of your environment.
Is so that for males or females?
I say both.
I would have to challenge you to that, because I don't have a dad. He passed. My mom, a woman can actually play both roles. Like, I watched her play both roles with both of my brothers, and they're both successful. One works in a hospital, and the other one's out making money in the business somewhere. They're both successful. And she, like, I witnessed, like, for myself, she pushed me to be a better version of myself, not just as a mother, but as both roles. Like, she played that role as a mom, even though the environment we live in is very bad. She made sure I was on that right track. And yeah, even though I lost that one parent, I still had a parent that played both roles and still pushed me to be the best version of myself, school-wise and work-wise and self-wise. So maybe not all, but some parents can and some women can play both roles as a father figure and a mother figure.
No, I know exactly what you mean. And like my mom, she tried to. I'm not saying that my mom could have filled out both roles. She was doing it the best she could. I'm not gonna lie, she was. But it's just some things. I feel like there's some things only a father can teach you. Yeah,
especially for a young man though.
Yeah. I feel like it goes different ways for boys.
Yeah.
I feel like boys more so need a father figure because they're a man to teach you to be a man.
Because there's some things that only a man has information about that a woman wouldn't really
know about. Yeah, the same way women know. Yeah, but like, I don't feel like when it comes to parents, you should just automatically separate the father figure and mother figure. I feel like with parents, it should be like this parent teach me this and this parent teach me that. Because when you put it into that perspective of, oh, this one person that got a father figure, they use it. Like they use it as a scapegoat and be like, oh, they don't got a dad, so they just act like that, so leave them be. I feel like some people look at it like that and they just care less because it's such a recurring thing and it's such a common thing that people say and kind of just look at you like, oh, well, we can't do nothing about you. Just another one of the products that we've been through already before.
And it really shouldn't be a common thing. I ain't gonna lie, especially in the, like, black communities. We see, like, typically what goes on is a lot of people, they have kids, you know what I'm saying, and they're not even married. So it's just like, when you look at it like that, and then it's just like you're having a child, you're making life, you're having a baby with somebody that you're not even sure that you want to be with, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't make any sense. And then it's just like that child, he or she is gonna really suffer the consequences because of y'all actions and all that. A lot of people are really not good parents for, like, I'm not gonna lie
to you. Very selfish sometimes.
They're not good parents at all. And it's just like that kid is really gonna suffer. You might not see it when they Google Gaga, all that, right? But like 10, 15 years from down the line, you're gonna really see like what they become and all that. And it's usually, I'm gonna say it's usually not good, you know what I'm saying? But I feel like it's usually not good, but you still have those people who, like, those kids, whatever, they still able to stay on the right path. They still able to get their work done, everything, everything done and all that.
So which parent you think, in your opinion, is, like, more essential, mother or father?
Depends on you. It all depends on who you are as a person.
I say both.
But if you're...
They both, yeah.
Both.
But who put in the more effort? Who put in the most work?
I'm just saying, like, who's more essential? Like, who's more essential to a child's growth?
Either or. Like, I feel like for a girl, a mother figure would be better because they can relate more, because since you are a woman and they're growing into a woman. For a boy, they're growing into a man. Yeah. Every aspect of a man can't be taught by a woman because a woman is not a man. So they don't understand the life of a man because they aren't treated like one. So, like, it's experiences that you went through as a man or whoever that I can't ever say that I went through as a woman or a young lady or a girl, whoever.
And vice versa.
It's the same thing. Like, it's certain things that I've been through in my own head that I had issues about that boys probably never even thought in their head, possibly. Yeah. And there's some things that we all can come together about and say, yeah, we all can relate to this, but there's just certain things in how the world that we were built in, women do this way, men do that way. It's kind of like, it's the same thing with the race thing. Like, when you're built in a system that already has roles placed out for you, you kind of fall into those roles after so many generations have already filled into it too.
All right, so I just want to bring this back up, because like Jay said that, you know, when her father passed, her mom, you know, she really stepped up and did the best she could and raised two great black men who are thriving in society right now. So I just want to ask, not even black fathers, but any father for that matter, do you think a father could raise daughters to be great products of society?
Yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Like I said, it all depends on the effort of the parent. It don't depend on the gender of the parent. Like, if my mom put in more work than my dad, then that's what it is. My dad put in more work than my mom, then I'm going to learn off my dad more than my mom, or vice versa. Like, it just depends on who cares enough. Like, who cares to sit down and actually be like, this is my child. I want to teach them how to live the life that I care for them to live, but also for them to live the life that they want. But most of all, for them to be successful, for them to be a good human, for them to be a good person, if you have that mindset already built into your head, it don't matter what gender you are as a parent. You're going to keep doing that regardless. You want to make sure that's your end goal at the end of the day. So.
For sure.
So how do you feel about parents who push their kids to get good grades?
All right. So are you talking about authoritarian, authoritative, or permissive?
Just like the ones that are real, the real strict ones.
Authoritarian.
Yeah.
Okay. So again, I just realized about this. This is crazy. So that parenting, I feel like parents who really push their kids a lot, like very, very hard, sometimes those kids are the ones that most succeed in life, but they're the ones that mostly have the most mental issues or mental health or emotional damage because their parents were authoritarian parents. So they lack communication, they lack emotion, they lack the relationship between a mother or a father and their child. So those who are pushed so hard by authoritarian parents, like that kid, yeah, I'm gonna succeed in life, but I don't have the best relationship with my parent. Like, they pushed me so hard, I couldn't have a normal childhood. I couldn't have a fun education. Like, I couldn't live like this or live like that because I was pushed so hard to the point that I didn't get to live my life. So I feel like parents should let their kids breathe, be free, but also set those boundaries and rules. Like, yeah, like, I'm the authority, you're my child, but I'm going to let you have fun and live your life and experience, like, you know, learn from your mistakes, but I'm always here for you as a parent, and you can always talk to me, I can always give you advice, but I'm going to let you know when you're right and you're wrong, but I'm going to let you be free and make those mistakes, and if you need me, I'm going to be here as a parent. I think those parents, like, that should really be how parents, like, treat their child.
Yeah. I feel like you can go ahead, bro.
Because I never heard of the term you said.
Authoritarian, yeah, authoritative, and the permissive. Yeah.
Can you go into that? Like, explain what that means?
Okay, so authoritarian parents are parents who, like, push their child so hard, like, you're going to do this. You have no choice but to do this. Yeah, like, they're very, very strict.
Like, yeah. Imagine that.
Authoritative parents are parents who, yeah, like, you're going to do this too. I'm going to let you be free. Like set boundaries, but have fun. Permissive parents is, I don't care
they
what you
don't
do.
Don't care.
You like my friend. You my, I don't care what you do. We'll live life. I don't care where you at.
Yeah.
So that's the type of parents. Like, my parent always been authoritative. Like, she set boundaries, but you can live your life, but, you know, I'm going to be here for you to tell you when you're right or wrong. So, yeah.
I feel like strict parents, they lack the emotional response that their kid needs.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're so strict on somebody, you need to be empathetic. Like, you can't just say, you gotta do this, you gotta do that, and not feel some type of way for them. Like, when you constantly are just so hard body and so hard to talk to, you kinda just give your child, like, your child has the lack of communication with you. Like, they can't talk to you because they either fear you. Like, a lot of parents be like, this goes into, like, discipline, kind of. Like, I feel like parents that discipline their kids, you have to have the empathetic, like, in you. Because if you're not empathetic, they can see that as abuse or neglection or something like that. Because when you constantly are just so hard on your kid and hard body and everybody coming at you or your parent coming at you, it's kind of like, damn, do my parent even love you? Because you don't hear it. Yeah. Some kids never hear their parents say I love you a day in their life, and it makes you question, like, if you constantly so hard bodying me, constantly making me do this, yelling at me for not having a good grade, how much do you care about me? Do you care more about me or my grade and my papers and the work that can show off my name? And I feel like a lot of parents that do that are the parents that try and make their child into a better version of them. Because the parent probably failed that their own career or, like, their own passion, and they kind of force that onto the kid, be like, you got to do better than me. I understand that, but you can never once push me further than what you have never been past.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Thanks, though. But I feel like you see that a lot from, like I guess, foreign parents and all that.
Yeah.
Especially them, because it's just like they growing up in a country, you know what I'm saying? And they probably, you know what I'm saying, they're growing up in a country that's not. Usually it's not the best. They don't really love the lifestyle that they're living there. So now they have this little thing in their head about America, just, oh yeah, the American dream or whatever. And it's just like, oh yeah, I can raise my child here and they can grow up to be this person that I imagined them to be.
They basically live up their success.
Yeah. Basically, and they set very high expectations on their child, usually neglecting like stuff that the child needs, which is, you know what I'm saying? Like being there, like comforting the child, you know what I'm saying? Being emotionally there for the child. Just stuff that's, you know what I'm saying? Loving, like, you know what I'm saying? Just stuff that every kid should get. And me, in particular, I never heard my dad say, "I loved you." I ain't gonna lie. I thought that was normal. I wouldn't even lie to you. I thought that was normal for the longest. And you know what I'm saying, growing in a foreign like household and all that, like, it's like it's a lot more stricter, like especially with me in school, it was on my ass about it. But I wasn't stressing about it. I never really cared, you know what I'm saying, but they didn't like that. So I would get a lot of beatings because I wasn't performing well in school and this and that. Which, you know what I'm saying, caused a lot of problems, you know what I'm saying. Now like every time I'll be around somebody or whatever, like let's say you move your arm a little fast, I'll flinch. You know what I'm saying? Just because of like how I got trauma from being beat so many times, and it's coming from my father. You know what I'm saying? He really you know what I'm saying, instilled that trauma into me. You know what I'm saying? This is coming from a person that I used to, even though I never used to hear the man say I love you, this and that, and he still like he did all his beatings. As a child, I used to look at this man like Superman. He was my Superman for like. I really seen him as like, just like, I really used to love my dad, even though all that, I used to really love him for us, so, but.
Did you think that was love?
Yeah, and it was just like, I didn't realize it, but later down the line, and dealing with women and stuff, I kinda gained his bad tendencies and his bad habits and stuff like that, and I feel like that was the person that I told myself that I didn't want to be like. You know what I'm saying? I seen how he treated my mom, and he was doing a whole bunch of crazy shit that he shouldn't have been doing. But I took some of his bad habits and I was doing it to other women. And I told myself I would never be like him. And once I caught myself doing that, I ended up fixing myself so I could, you know what I'm saying, move forward and this and that. You know what I'm saying? I ain't like it for him.
But what do you think?
About like strict parents. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Personally, I got strict parents.
Yeah.
So I ain't trying to sound ignorant or nothing, but I don't really fuck with my parents. And not a lot. Back when I was younger, it was just like straight, I don't like my parents. Cause like Tim Mill said, I was a hard headed kid. Feel me? So I used to get belt to edge, but I don't know. It's just, I feel like it happened so much, and I was hard headed. Like I got kicked out in kindergarten. Like I was.
Sorry, that's different.
Kindergarten is crazy.
That's different. Like, you were five, bro.
Kindergarten is crazy. Damn, you was, like,
I was five.
I was horrible, bro.
Damn, you.
And, like I probably can't put on my parents. I just. I done been beat so many times, it's just, I feel like they ain't love me, bro.
Like, did you feel like they didn't love you, or they just disciplined you so much because you was a bad kid?
That's probably what it is, mm-hmm. But that's probably what it is, but growing up, like.
I feel like they think, that's all they know, though. That's all they know.
Yeah, that's how they were talking.
There's other shit that's going on, they're not going to, especially foreign parents, like our parents, they're not gonna sit down and be like, what's going on? You know what I'm saying? What's this? What's going on? You might be getting bullied. Cause at the time I was getting bullied at school and all that. But my parents and all that, they would never sit down with me and speak to me and be like, what's going on? Blah, 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 this and that. They would just be quick to, you know what I'm saying, get to the beating and this and that.
But that's, I'm not, I don't mean to cut you off, but that's done though. You talking about right now, like I'm not gonna say I'm grown, but like I done matured to the point where we could have a genuine conversation. Like, mm-hmm. Feel me? Like, you could talk to me about what's going on in the crib. Half of the time, my dad old as hell. He like 60, bro. I take care of everybody in my crib anyway, bro. He retired, and it's just sometimes I feel like if you would have just worked to build that bond instead of just being so
authoritative.
Mm-hmm.
Authoritarian
parent, y'all would have a better mom.
Yeah, I feel like when you discipline your child so much, you gotta have that emotional response also. Like, you can't just constantly just put belt to ass and just call it a day.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, or come get some food. No.
I hate that.
Yo, your parents never want to apologize.
All right. No, for real, like, all right, so, you know, this is a typical black household. You'll get in trouble. Black moms don't apologize. Come eat. But for me, like, y'all stories actually make me, like, dang. Like, y'all had it worse than me. Like, I think I had it bad. But I got beat because I did a little small stuff. But my dad never laid a hand on me. It was my mom. Yeah. I think I got hit like one time by my dad. He never did it again. Like, he never did it again. It was my mom. But I just feel like a parent hitting the child, it's like, okay, I'm disciplined. But if it's happening over and over again, that can cause a child emotional damage, bad coping mechanisms in the future. Like, it's really bad.
Like, I feel like with you, if they already saw the beatings wasn't enough, they should have found a different route instead of
going. Oh, the beatings was enough for me.
But no,
I know we, you know what I'm saying, we're getting to that time mark, but one thing I wanted to say though is, you know what I'm saying, your dad and stuff, I loved how he did that though, because I feel like the reason why he did it was because he wanted to show you that it's never good for a man to put his hands on a woman.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I wish a lot more men was like that. But yeah, that wraps things up though.
Yeah, that's about our time, man. I wish we could have a part two, but I'm saying, no, we might have a part two. Actually, this is a good convo
because we ain't answer every question on here.
Yeah,
a lot, but saying some things to tune in. I know some people out here listening. Y'all need some relationship advice. I'm saying, just keep on. You know what I'm saying, keep on the lookout.
Keep on the lookout.
We have an episode about y'all struggling about y'all relationship or whatever. Y'all need some help. Y'all better listen to this podcast that we got going on. But
for
yeah,
sure. But yeah, it's been real, man. It's A-Stacks.
It's that Mo.
It's Jay.
It's Zani.
I'm gonna say it.
I'm gonna say it.
Don't dream too big, no dreaming too small.
About time. Yo, we're signing off.